78, Psalm 78, if you would turn your Bibles, please. Psalm 78 is a somewhat lengthy psalm. It's way shorter than 119, but it's longer than some others. So we're not going to cover all of it today. Is it my color blindness that messes me up, or is that just, okay? Yeah, it's a much better graphic at the back, if you want to look. It's kind of cool back there. We'll fix that. So, Lord willing, yeah, let's go ahead and go to the next slide, Chandler. There we go. Okay, that's where we're heading, Psalm 78. Thank you. Lord willing, I think we're going to be looking at five different places in Scripture and seeing what God can do for 5 weeks, but the Lord's free to redirect that, so we'll see. But today, I've titled the sermon, Can God? Can God? And if you... Along the way, if I ask that question and you feel so inclined, please do let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and let yes, God can. It is all right to praise Him and to proclaim His greatness. I was reading a story, I think it was Tony Evans who shared this, of this man who was in prison. And this man needed some money. I don't really know why he needed some money, but he was in prison for a little while. And he wrote to his mom, and he said, "Mom, I need $500 immediately." And soon after that, he got a package in the mail, and in that package there was a Bible, and there was a note with the Bible that said, "Son, I love you. Pray and read your Bible." He was upset at that note. He was a little ticked off, but he was allowed to make an occasional phone call, so he got on the phone there, and he called his mom, and he said, "Mom, thank you for the Bible, but what I really need is $500 cash. I need $500, not a Bible." And she said, "Son, pray and read your Bible." And he hung up on her. Well, he wrote a letter to his mom, and he said, "Mom, I'm really upset. I know you believe in God. I know you mean well, sending me the Bible and giving me advice. I understand that, but you need to understand that sometimes you Christians are just so heavenly minded and spiritual, you're no earthly good." He's like, "When I say I need $500, I don't need a Bible. I need $500. He got a letter back that said, "Son, pray and read your Bible." Well, he was irritated, to say the least. He was really disgusted. And for 6 months, as he waited to be released, that Bible sat in the corner of his cell. And then the day came when he was released, and he got out, and his mom came to greet him and take him home. And he said, "Mom, I want you to know I'm really angry." He said, I feel disappointed. I thought as my mom you would help me. I really needed that $500. And you let me down." And she said, "Son, what do you mean by that?" And he said, "Well, I wrote to you and I told you what I needed. I said I needed $500. You sent me a Bible." And said, I'm upset." She said, "Well, son, answer me this. Did you do what I said? Did you pray and did you read your Bible?" And he said, "Yes, I did." She said, "Really? Okay. All right, well, give me your Bible." And she took the Bible and she said, "Let me ask you one more time. Did you read your Bible, son?" And he said, "Yes, I did." And she said, "Son, you did not. You didn't pray. You didn't read your Bible." And she opened it up, and there, taped within the Bible, were some $100 bills. See, if that boy would have just read the Bible and prayed, if he would have just done what his mom told him to do, he would have discovered that what he needed was in the text. It was there in the Bible. Listen to your mom. Amen. Amen. But because he didn't take the Word of God seriously, he ignored the provision of what was there. He missed out on what he needed, which was more than the $500. You know, the Bible tells us that God is Jehovah Jireh, that He is God who provides, and He is a generous and gracious God. And you know, there are times where we are in short supply of many things that only God can give. You know, I think in the Christian life, somehow my bucket's got a hole in it, you know. He gives me joy, but there's times it just seems like, wow, I kind of running light on that today. Or he gives me hope, but my bucket's got a hole in it. There's times I'm just like, wow, man, I could use some more hope. You know, he gives me peace, but there's times that I just wonder, where is that peace today? But he is a gracious God, and he's given us his word, and when we go to his word, we can find his provision is there. So Psalm 78 today, we're going to start in verse 1, and I'm not going to have time to read all of it, so this is an assignment. Today, later today, or in the near future, you're going to read Psalm 78 for yourself, I hope, and not miss out on what God has for you beyond what we're going to hear today. So we'll probably just look at the first 20 verses. I think that's what I made slides for today. Let's speak to the author before we read his book today. Father, we recognize that your word is the revelation of who you are and your character and your ways, and that in your word, Lord, there is a provision for us, that your spirit can take your word and help us to take that in our hearts and our minds in a way that gives us supernaturally what nothing else can. And so, Lord, we pray for that today. Whatever the need is for each one that's going to glorify you in that being met, Lord, we pray that you would make yourself known. Be our provision, Lord. We know that ultimately what you give is yourself. So, Lord, help us to receive today. Help us to receive in a way that helps us to know you more and to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 78 starts out, and a lot of your translations will have this, a maskil of Asaph. So I want to take just a moment to explain that. So who is Asaph? Does anybody remember Asaph? Yes. A couple things. Yeah, he was a worship leader. Yeah, in 1st and 2nd Chronicles, as well as Nehemiah, there's a few places that we read about Asaph. But during the reign of King David, there were a few families, Levitical families, that the head of those families, they were basically worship leaders. But then we know also from the text that Asaph was more than that. He was actually a prophet as well. He was some of the texts say a seer. He was a prophet. And he wrote 12 of the Psalms were written by Asaph. So this psalm, it says, is a maskil. What is that? Does anybody know that today, what that is? It's a teaching psalm. It literally means to enlighten or to instruct in some way. And so this psalm was a hymn that was intended to be sung, especially in particular around the home. This was for the family. And it speaks of generations in this psalm. And so this is a teaching psalm. And it reminds us what's being taught here. The main lesson of this psalm really is the person of God, and that each generation is responsible in their time to proclaim the greatness of God, to remember who God is and the great things that he has done, and to share that with each other, to proclaim that, to sing that, to teach that to each other, and then especially to the next generation, that our lives are to be so saturated with the word of God that it impacts the next generation, that they trust in him too, and that they tell the next generation that we won't see about God. And so that's really the theme of this psalm. So we'll start here in verse 1. Now, for the most part, I'm going to read through this. I think I'll explain something along the way here. But my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God. It would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. The men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his law. They forgot what he had done, the wonders that he had shown them. So Psalm 78, it starts out with this charge, this responsibility, certainly for the people of Israel, but for all of God's people, really, that the things that have been passed on, you know, for us, we have the Word of God, we have the Bible that's been passed on to us from our ancestors, from the apostles and the prophets. You know, sometimes in our culture, we've got this mindset that whatever is newest is best. I just want to tell you that's not true. Not inherently true. Sometimes maybe in medicine or something that applies. But what is newest is not always best, and what is newest should not automatically replace what came before, what's in the past. A lot of the great truths that we have come from our ancestors, passed along in the Word of God. And we are to pass these things on with intentionality. We are to share the Word of God with our children with intentionality so that the next generation will hear the deeds of God, verse 4, and that they will put their trust in him, verse 7, that they would not forget his deeds but keep his commands, unlike the previous generations. This is a reminder for Israel, but it also, I think, is a reminder for us, because I know there are times that I forget. You know, there's times that I think that we have short-term memory issues with the greatness of God and what he's done in our lives and what he's done in the church over the years. And that was certainly a problem for Israel, but it's a problem for us. You know, the people of Israel, they had, among other things, they had been delivered from slavery. They're in Egypt, and God did mighty things to deliver them. He showed his greatness and his power against the Egyptians in freeing them. And in doing that, you know, they should have been emboldened as they walked forward out of Egypt in freedom, but there were times that they still doubted him, that they had forgotten how awesome God is. And there were times that the attitude of their heart, and I think the attitude of our heart sometimes, is revealed maybe in a question. You know, we run into a new circumstance for us. We run into something that seems to be a new problem in a relationship or in a job or a temptation we have or whatever it may be. We run into this new thing, and we forget the thousand things that God has done already in our lives up until then. And we get into this new situation and we say, yeah, but can God handle this? Can God? Can God really? I mean, can he move in this situation? Can he deliver here? Can he answer this prayer? But just like the people of Israel, we are called to trust God because of who he is, because of his character. This morning, I think it would be helpful for us to recognize, looking at the Word of God, that we are a lot like Israel. We are a lot like Israel at times. We have times that question pops up, and when that question arises, that temptation to question God and doubt him and say, can God? We need to be ready to say, yes, God can. Yes, God, no matter what the situation, no matter what we face, no matter how overwhelming it seems to us, because he is still the Lord of glory. He is still the King of kings. He's still Lord of lords. He's still the Almighty. He's still the one who has infinite wisdom. He's still the one who knows the beginning from the end. He's the one who will be glorified in every situation, and no matter what, God is able to do today everything he has ever done. He is still the same God. He does not change. Verse number 12. He did miracles in the sight of their ancestors in the land of Egypt, in the region of Zoan. He divided the sea and led them through. He made the water stand up like a wall. Can you imagine? He guided them with a cloud by day and with light from the fire all night. He split the rock in the wilderness and gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of the rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers. But they continued to sin against him, rebelling in the wilderness against the Most High. They willfully put God to the test by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God. They said, can God really spread a table in the wilderness? True, he struck the rock and water gushed out. Streams flowed abundantly. But can he also give us bread? Can he supply meat for his people? You know, it's easy for me to compartmentalize that and say, I'm not one of the Hebrew people from back in the day, and I didn't see him do that, and I wouldn't have doubted that way, but I'm telling you, in my life, time and time again, as great as God has proven himself in my life, there are times where I'm in a situation, and I'm overwhelmed, and I see the joy ebbing away, or the hope ebbing away, or the peace, because I'm not believing him. I'm not remembering who he is. Or maybe I'm looking to myself and thinking, I'm totally insufficient for that. And maybe I am. But that doesn't matter. God is sufficient. He is able. He is able. So that's the question for us to ponder today. Can God, in your life, in my life, can God? One of the first things for us to recognize in the text here today is the condition of the people. The condition of the people, they were faithless. They were faithless. They're in verse 19 and verse 20. Can God? Can God? They didn't believe. They didn't trust him. You skip down, I don't have slides for this, but in verses 40 to 42 there, it tells us that they rebelled against God. They grieved him. They put him to the test. Verses 56 and 57 tells us that they rebelled against God. They did not keep his statutes. They were faithless. They didn't trust him. They didn't trust him. These are people just like me and you that were called to bring people to God, to glorify him, to be called by his name. And they had every reason, just like you and I do, to trust God with no reservation at all, no hesitation, no matter what the circumstance. And yet, they doubted. Even though God was in their midst, just like God is in our midst. If you have trusted in the Lord, do you know that he is with you? That he has given you his spirit, that everywhere you go, he's there. Everywhere. And that the one who is in you is greater than anything that this world can throw at you.
That's right.
And you've got every reason to be confident and to expect God to be God in your life and to not doubt him. And yet instead of trusting, there's times that we don't. You know, like Brad prayed earlier, sometimes it's a matter of timing. God's timing is perfect. And sometimes because he's not the microwave God who instantly says, here's your fries. Right? We question and doubt him. But the thing is, God's always, not only is he hearing and answering our prayers, but he's answering them perfectly and in his timing, which is perfect. And in his way, and usually giving us the greater thing, far beyond what we're asking of him. And part of that greater thing is himself, him saying, hey, whatever I do in this situation, I'm here. I'm with you. You're not facing this alone. You're facing this with me. And because of who he is and because of what he's done, you've got reason to have joy and to have peace and to have hope in the situation. Sometimes that's not necessarily activated. You know, we struggle sometimes, but he's given us the cause in what he's already done to have that. To have that. But even though we do have times that we doubt, it doesn't have to be that way. It does not have to be that way. When we trust God, and you can ask him for that faith. I ask God for greater faith every day, I think, probably. Nearly every day. God, I want to trust you more, and you're worthy of it. And I ask him to do that in my life. And we can ask God, God, help me to have a faith in you that is not influenced by anything the world says, that's not tainted with unbelief, God. That's just a simple, confident expectation that you're God. You're God, that we trust him that way. In John 20, verses 26 and 27, the Bible says, a week later his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand, put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. And I am so glad that God is so patient with me and keeps inviting me every day. James, stop doubting. Believe. Stop doubting and believe. He's worthy of it every day. That's his invitation to me and you today. Whatever you're facing in your life, stop doubting. Believe. Trust him for it. Believe him for it. Second thing to recognize today, they were forgetful. They were forgetful, and we're the same way. Verse 7, then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but keep his commands. But keep his commands. We remember who God is. We remember what he's done in our life. He grows that faith, and he gives us the ability to obey his commands. Verse 42 said, they did not remember his power. They did not remember his power that he had redeemed them from the oppressor when they were in Egypt. I don't like to think about who I was before Christ made me new, but sometimes it's good to go back there and at least go back to that moment of trusting in him and all of that guilt and shame washed away and him giving me his spirit and just made new in Christ. And it's good to remember that I was totally a slave to sin before. I had no ability in myself to walk away from death and darkness and sin apart from Christ, but he saved me from the oppressor. He reached into that darkness and he pulled me out and gave me life and gave me hope and gave me joy and gave me peace and gave me his spirit. And he, if you are redeemed today, he has done that for you. You have been released from the oppressor. You've been brought out of Egypt. You have been freed from slavery to sin. Isn't that awesome? As a nation, Israel, again and again, just forgetful that God had freed them. They were a free people. He'd done that in such amazing ways. He brought those plagues upon Egypt in order to make Pharaoh set them free and release them. He parted the Red Sea for them. He had changed bitter waters in the desert into fresh water they could drink. He'd given them the manna and the quail. He'd done everything to show them that he is God and he is all-powerful and that he's got their back. That he is watching over them. And yet they still would face situations and they're like, I don't know, can God handle this one? That's me sometimes. Some days that's me. It describes me. But I think back, you know, how many times has God come through for me? How many times have I, out of desperation, I've prayed that prayer, but I really didn't truly, if I would have believed, I would have been so shocked when he answered it. But he did. He did. He did a miracle that only he could do time and time again through my life and in other people's life, in your life. Proving that he's an awesome God, that he's a miracle-working God. Showing us that he is worthy of absolute trust without any hesitation. How many times has there been a storm in your life that you have just been in, you thought, man, I'm not going to make it through this one. And you've called upon the name of the Lord. And he rescued you. Again and again, God is so faithful to do that and to bring, sometimes to bring you out or sometimes to bring you peace in the midst of that storm. Like, wow, God. I can't believe hope to carry on, even in this. Wow, thank you, Lord. He does that. He does that. And if God did it then, no matter what you face today, he can do it now. Can God? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Amen. Third thing to recognize today, they were foolish. They were foolish. By asking, you know, can God? And Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy. Sometimes that's us. By asking, can God? I mean, they were ignorant. They were thinking foolishly. God is an awesome God. An awesome God. There's so many times in the wilderness that played out for the people of Israel. Just doubting God. Wanting to turn back in their wanderings. And I think of the situation where they came to the edge of the promised land and Moses sent in the 12 spies. You guys know the story, right? They come back, the spies go there, and they see what? These giant people. Man, these guys are huge. And their cities are fortified, and they come back, and 10 out of the 12 say, no way, we're toast. These guys are gigantic. In their sight, we're grasshoppers. We're bugs, you know, compared to these people. There's no way we can go in, but two of the guys come back, two of the spies, right? Joshua and Caleb, what do they say? Let's do it. God's with us. Are you kidding? God said, this is yours. Let's do it. That's faith. That's trust. That's our God. That's getting the focus off of who we are in the situation. You know what? Those guys were giants. Those cities were fortified. And if you just go in there with human rationality and you're looking at, okay, what are our supplies and the resources we've got and our strengths, and you go in there looking at your provisions, the rational thing to do is say, let's have a prayer meeting indefinitely and let's put off going, you know. That would make sense. But if you leave God out of the equation, but if you bring God into the equation, it doesn't matter if you're zero and if he's everything, if it's zero plus everything, you've got everything.
That's right. Come on.
And that's what Caleb knew. That's what Joshua knew. They were like, we've got this. We know who God is.
Yes, he can.
Let's go. God, yes, can God?
Yes, he can.
Yes, he can. Amen. Amen. No matter what it is, God can do it. So what is the character of God? What is the character of God? And praise the Lord, we've got eternity to praise him for who he is. And we're going to scratch the surface today. God is faithful. God is faithful. Even when we're faithless, God is faithful.
Amen.
Even on your bad days, when your faith is just like not even a mustard seed, he's faithful. That's awesome news. See, even though the people of Israel again and again and again rebelled and turned away from God, you know what always happened? God showed them mercy. God showed up again and said, I'm not done with you. I'm gracious. I'm merciful. I'm forgiving. Our God is faithful. He has not changed. That same faithful God, we all have times when we let him down. You know, we all have days when we're not walking out the walk the way we should. We all have times where we're talking a whole lot of good biblical talk, but maybe what's going on in here and here doesn't line up with that. But you know what? God is faithful. And he forgives and restores and cleanses and says, let's move on in my strength. He is an awesome God. You've got every reason to put your trust in him. And I think about Abraham. God had told Abraham and Sarah that they would have children. He told Abraham that you're going to be the father of many nations. And even though he was 100 years old, you know what the Bible says? He didn't doubt that. He believed that even though that was true, in Romans 4, verses 20 and 21, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Can you imagine? What's God promised you that you're doubting? It's probably not as big as, hey, when you're 100 years old, you're going to be the father of many nations. That's a big promise. But God says, guess what? I deliver. And Abraham believed him. Abraham believed that he was fully persuaded that God had the power to do everything he promised. Everything that he promised. God is faithful. And God is powerful. God is powerful. God did miracles in their lives in the sight of their ancestors. Verse 12 says, he divided the sea. He led them through. Verse 13, so much more. Throughout their history, throughout their lives, God showed his presence and his power with them and his grace. He had proven himself, no matter what the obstacle, that he was greater time and time again. Can you imagine? I mean, there's times I just think, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it to Cracker Barrel and get one of my favorites today. You know, but can you imagine being in the desert and you don't even have your kitchen. You don't even have your stuff, let alone somebody else's provision. And there's God just bringing manna and quail and water and just supplying a feast, taking care of them. God, can you imagine walking up to the Red Sea and thinking, well, God's done pretty good, but I think, you know, this one was a mistake because here come the Egyptians and we've got nowhere to go. And God's saying, I got you. Parting those waters like dry land. They just walk through it. Amazing. God is so good. Defeating every enemy that they faced. guiding him with a pillar of a cloud and by the fire by night. Amazing. He's proved himself greater than everything in their life. And that's exactly what he's done in your life. That's exactly what he's done. He has shown himself over and over again that he is faithful, he is powerful, and he's able. He's greater than the obstacle. He is greater. Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21, the Bible says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power." That's a lot. "According to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations." He's the same God.
That's right.
He was the same God for your grandparents. He's the same God today. He's going to be the same God for your grandkids.
Yes.
He's an awesome God. He's powerful throughout all the generations forever. And God is patient. God is patient. You know, even though God shows up and shows off and he answers prayer again and again, there's times that we kind of waver, right? At least for a minute or two. And yet God is just like, "All right, let me take your hand. Let me take your hand. Let me help you along." He's such a patient Father with us. He is. He is so, so patient. And you know, I think about the times in my life when if I were him, I would have brought the hammer down on me. Seriously. Because I deserved it. Even as his kid, that I deserved it. That would have been justice. And yet God, over and over again in his patience, he just turned away his anger against my sin and said, "I love you, son. I'm not done. Let's keep walking this out. Time to repent. Time to turn away from that and turn to me. Let's keep going." He is so patient. So, I want to give a little bit of application here, and then we're going to look at ways we can apply this. You know, when Kim and I were in Iowa recently, and it's not jet lag that we've got today, it's grandkids. We drove. When we were in Iowa, we went to a place called, a restaurant called Need, like K-N-E-A-D, like Need Dough. It was called Need Pie and Q, because they had pizza pie, they had pizza, and they had barbecue. It was really good. It was kind of different, but the pizza was the crust, right? Everybody was raving about how good the crust was. I appreciate a good pizza. I mean, I'm a pizza fan, big time. And I really like, for me, the sauce is a big deal, like a really good tangy sauce. But then the toppings, you know, the mushrooms and the pepperoni and all that stuff, I really appreciate. But you got to get the crust right first, right? None of the other stuff matters if you don't get the crust right. It's got to be a good, if it's undercooked and doughy or if it's just burnt or something. You know, there's times in my life where I'm looking for the good things of God. I'm looking for, even just supernaturally, you know, just, "God, I want to know the joy of your salvation today. God, I want to know your peace that goes beyond all understanding today. I want to have hope. I want to have real mountain-moving faith today. God, I want these delicious toppings in my life. I want these things in my life." But there's times where it seems like that's not quite there, even though I'm asking for those good things, and I think God's saying, "The crust isn't ready, son. Before I can give you that, I'm doing other things here. I'm getting the crust ready so that I can bring that blessing up, so I can fulfill what I've got for you and bring that into your life." He's preparing things. He's preparing our hearts. He's preparing our minds to trust him and to receive those things from him today. So a few action steps for us today. Our choice today. Today, I'm going to invite you to, you don't have to choose this, but I think you'd be smart. Today I will trust God. Today I will trust God. And that trust means I'm going to be confident. That's what I pray for. I don't, you know, hey, whatever faith he gives, praise God. But I want to just be so saturated with expectation and confidence in you. Unwavering, and so I ask him for that, and we can make a choice because he's worthy of that, and he will give that for us to trust him, to have confidence in him. In John 14, Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He's inviting us to believe. He's inviting us to trust. He's expecting us to receive that. In Mark 11, verse 22, Jesus, he's teaching about prayer, and he says, listen, guys, this is the essential thing as he's teaching about prayer. Have faith in God. If you don't have faith, if you don't trust him, if you don't believe, if you doubt, you're in trouble. But he said, don't doubt, believe. Believe, trust him. A friend of mine years ago gave a wonderful, wonderful message. I'm going to borrow this from him today. And as he gave these action steps, he invited everybody to affirm in this way. So even as we choose today to trust God, I want to confess that there may come a day when my faith is wavering, when my trust in him is wavering, but today is not going to be that day. Today is not going to be that. Today I will choose to trust the Lord. So if you would like to, I'm going to invite you just to affirm that. Today I will trust him. I will trust God. Today I will trust God. There may come a day when I will doubt, but today is not that day. Today is not that day. Amen. Amen. Can God be God in your life? Yes, he can.
Yes, he can.
Yes, he can. Today I will remember God and his mighty deeds. I am not going to be forgetful today. I'm going to remember what he's done in my life. I'm going to remember him bringing me out of sin. I'm going to remember all those stories that have been passed along in Scripture. I'm going to remember what he did with Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel, can your God save you? Yes, he can. I'm going to remember Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego in the furnace. Can God save them? Yes, he can. Absolutely. I'm going to remember the apostles in the boat, the storm. You know, can he save them?
Yes,
he can. I'm going to remember who God is and remember the mighty deeds, the things he has done. I'm going to remember the hearts of the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the downcast and the lepers in that first century walking with Jesus, pondering, can God love someone like me? And Jesus embracing them and healing them and loving them and accepting them. And then being able to say, yes, God can. God can accept even me. He can forgive even me. He loves me. Yes, he can. I'm going to remember God and his mighty deeds. There may come a day as I get older that I'm more forgetful than today. But you know what? Today I'm going to remember how great God is.
Amen.
And there may come a day I'm going to forget some things, but today is not that day.
That's right.
Today is not that day. Today I will remember my God. Today I will walk in God's ways. It means obedience. Today I will walk in God's ways. I'm going to believe that God is God and I'm not. I'm going to believe that he's a whole lot smarter than I am. And I'm going to walk in his ways. Not just what he knows, but his heart. I'm going to walk in God's ways, having genuine faith in God. You know what genuine faith looks like? Obedience. I believe him. I believe what he says. I trust what he says. I walk out what he says. You know, when you get into the Word of God, the Bible says faith comes through the hearing of the Word. When you get into the Word of God and the Holy Spirit just lodges that in your heart and in your thoughts, and it just comes alive and it changes you. And it helps you to trust the Lord more and to be mindful, to remember who he is, and to obey. To obey, to walk in God's ways. It is a beautiful thing to learn to walk in God's ways. I'm learning it every day.
Amen.
I fall down a lot, but he picks me up.
Amen.
He picks me up. There may come a day when I choose to be really foolish and do what I think instead of what God thinks, but today is not that day. Today is not that day. Today I will walk in his ways. That's a choice I'm going to make. Praise God, he gives us his Spirit so we can make that choice. Worship team, I'm going to invite you to come on back up, and I'm going to close this in prayer. You know, even as I share from God's word today, I certainly have to confess that there are situations sometimes in my life, I mean, there's definitely situations when you have kids who are adults. There's situations where it's a struggle. You wonder, like the people of Israel wondered at times, God, are you really with us? Are you really watching? Are you awake? And I'm just telling you that God, his eye is always on us. He is always with us. But his timing is everything. And so we have to wait upon the Lord and trust him in the meantime. Father, thank you for the reminder today. And God, we pray you would remind us every day from your word and through your people, God, as we engage with your word by your spirit, Lord, as we pray, as we praise you, as we have fellowship with you and with your people, God, as we serve you, Lord, remind us in all these things who you are. Who you are and what you've done in our life, and that no matter what we face, no matter who we are, from the least to the greatest, it doesn't matter who we are. That you are an awesome God, that you show your strength, you manifest and bring your strength to life in us, in our weakness. You know our frame, you know that we are dust. And yet you say, trust me, walk in my ways. And then you give us yourself, God, to make that possible. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. God, we pray, help us. Help us, Lord, to have such confidence in you that it glorifies you, that it encourages our brothers and sisters, God. And Lord, we recognize that we are surrounded by people in a time and place where people are wringing their hands, saying, what in the world is going on in this country and in this culture and in this town? What's going on and where is this going, God? And there's so many people who don't even know you, who are probably at a point of such despair that they're looking to you and saying, oh God, if you're there, can you do something? And God, as your people who know that you can, help us. Speak through us, Lord. Speak through your people. Help us to be humble and to speak to people with respect and dignity, but help us to confidently say, yes. Yes, God can. God can. He is a sovereign God. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be in despair. You need to turn to him and believe that he will be faithful. God, help us to proclaim to this generation and the generation to come who you are. Who you are, that you are a God who is worthy of trust for every generation, God. And we proclaim, yes, you can. In Jesus' name, amen.